Please join me in the confession of sin as you find it on page 120. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. Lift up your hearts with joy. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise and join me in the versicles.
Lord,
Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, we thank you for establishing the office of the public ministry by which we receive care from your saving word. Give us hearts of faith to listen and follow your voice through those who serve faithfully under you. Keep all of us in your gracious care as we look forward to the reunion of your saints in heaven. We ask it all in your saving name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, who've been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God's grace, his kindness, and compassion are yours to be found alone in this Savior. Amen. Our reading for tonight in this, the third week after Easter, which is traditionally Good Shepherd Week, our reading tonight is taken from 1 Peter chapter 5, the first four verses. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by constraint, but willingly, not for monetary gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. I have a friend who quotes a saying quite often. It goes like this: God invented the office of the public ministry, the office of a pastor, because he wanted to make sure there would be at least one person staying up late at night concerned about your soul. It's an interesting way to put it. In the 19th century, there were many people that were coming over from Europe, Germany, England, Ireland, Poland, Denmark, Sweden, Norway. And many of these people were pouring now into the new country over here, and quite often, rarely did they have enough pastors, if any at all. And there was a group of Norwegians in the New York City area, about 70 families that had gathered together to try and form a congregation. But they had been unable to find someone to serve them as a pastor. This had gone on for 5 or 6 years now. And finally, there was a man from Norway who had been trained to come over and serve as their shepherd. His name was Herman Omberg Preuss, and he arrived and went out to meet the people, and after a couple of months of going to everybody's homes and talking to them, he wrote this: the congregation there still existed on paper, but that is about all one could say about it. There was no public activity, no common worship. One could hardly speak of a cohesion among its members. They really were, as some of them put it, sheep without a shepherd, wandering hither and yon. Merely to gather them together again for divine services was a task fraught with no little difficulty. There's a reason that Christ has established the office of the public ministry. This isn't something that is trivial or meaningless. It's not something that's just optional for Christians to do. Listen to what Peter writes. The elders who are among you I exhort, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. There's a necessity to this office. There's a necessity to having someone placed in this shepherding office to take care of people's souls. It's part of the command of Christ. It's part of the way he wants the Christian church to act and interact with each other here in this world. So why is that? Why would Christ, the Son of God, establish this very peculiar office? Well, one of the reasons is it's very easy for us human beings in this world to live in a world of delusion. It's very easy for us to imagine better things about ourselves than we ought. The longer we stay away from the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God, the more tempted we are to go back to our pride in ourselves, and to start imagining that somehow there's something about us that makes God so happy with us. And so the pastoral office is to help break that delusion in our minds and in our hearts. And you can see this in the other religions of the world, which are not shepherded by those who are under Christ. Their religions are always based on how good man can be and all the things man can try to do to please God so that God will be happy with him. But we need to hear the truth about ourselves. God doesn't want us living in this delusion that somehow we are such great people and that's why he should be so happy with us. Our pastors constantly keep that truth in front of us and remind us of our real condition, the depravity of our sinful human nature, and just how lowly we are before God. Always with the intent then of leading us to the cross and bringing us to the work of our Savior, where alone we have salvation, where alone we have perfection and righteousness before God through faith in that Savior. We're also tempted by the delusion of the world's glory and the material things that we can gather in this life. And the longer we stay away from hearing that word of God that directs us back to setting our minds on things above, the more we gravitate back to building the barns we can have in this life and all the wealth we can get in this life. There was another Norwegian pastor by the name of Dr. Ulrich Wilhelm Koren, and he wrote this to pastors. It's a great line. "You shall be sent out to rip off the masks of the world's lies." That's a great line. That's the role of a pastor, to take the truth of the Word of God and go right at people's hearts, rip off the mask of the world's lies as to what we think about ourselves, and to expose the truth, always with the goal of comforting us with the wonderful gospel of our Savior, the full forgiveness of sins, the perfect holy righteousness that he alone has managed to create and now gives to us through the precious gift of faith. What we really need in this world is truth. That's really what it comes down to. The pastoral office is designed by God to be about truth, making sure that God's truth penetrates into our hearts and into our minds, and to continue speaking truth even when society pressures us not to want to hear what God's word has to say. And the ultimate goal of this office is nothing in this world. The ultimate goal is that everyone under the care of that under-shepherd to Christ will someday be feasting in the pastures of heaven. The role of a pastor is really to do nothing else but to get you and me ready for Judgment Day. Listen to what Peter writes to pastors. He says that under-shepherds under Christ should do their work not by compulsion, but willingly. They shouldn't feel forced into doing this. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Shepherds are there not just to point the way to heaven. They're actually there to lead their members on the way to heaven. One of the old church fathers put it like this: you drive cattle, but you must lead sheep. I like that. You drive cattle, but you must lead sheep. And that's why in the 23rd Psalm, we don't hear that Jesus drives me beside the still waters. No, he leads us beside the still waters. I'm going to say something very kind of personal in a sense to each one of us here tonight. It's possible that in your spiritual life in the years ahead, there is going to come a time when you have fallen into something or you have started to stray in some way, and your pastor may have to come and talk to you. And I just want to encourage you, if and when that ever happens, that you be all ears. If his instruction is truly in keeping with the Word of God, and his intent is to help you come back to your Savior so that you can be in heaven someday, he is carrying out a very special work. And to remind yourself that the primary focus of his duties is to make sure that you get through the judgment scene into heaven. There are many important occupations that we have in life and whose services we use in this world, and many of them are extremely important. But once we're in heaven someday, we're going to look back on the roles that our pastors played to guide and direct us as the flock of Christ with great gratitude. Amen.